Hello, everyone. Let's all get settled in. Let me get all my screens settled for you or arranged for me so that I can teach you well. So today we're going to talk about something really cool. I just want to let y'all know, I looked at the content that we came up with for today early this morning. I got up around like 5 o'clock or something like that. And I was looking at it and I was like, oh, I cannot wait to teach this today. I don't know what it was, but there was just something exciting about it. Something that just said, this is going to be a game changer. I can't wait. So it's always good when we have a great outlook on things. Just makes life easier. Also, let me go over just a couple of little quickie things. Number one, there is a surprise coming for y'all on Monday. Well, before I get into the surprise, don't worry. Let me just say this. So Coach Lisa's on stage. If you're brand new, this is a teaching call where I have some Q&A at the end. It is not mandatory. We highly suggest anyone who is on a weight loss stall, anyone who is like struggling with something, or if you're brand new to NoBS, that you save these calls for later and you go back to NoBS, the weight loss course, and you take lessons that are where you're having sticking points. What I watch a lot of you do is if you're new, you try to overconsume everything and you kind of get lost in the consumption and not in the basics of things and just applying. So take your time going through the material. The other side of the coin is I watch people who have been around for a while, they'll hit a stall or a plateau and they'll overconsume these calls and they forget to go to the basics and they just have forgotten some of the stuff. Like we all know to drink water and we know to get our sleep. Like you understand like the four basics, but so many of the nuances that I talk about in each one of those videos about not having shame, the phases of change, like all of that stuff. It's like, you just conveniently forget it when you've been around a while and you are on a stall. So it's really important that you don't just listen to these calls. If you feel like you're staying stuck, please go back to the NoBS weight loss course, re-listen to the lessons. And this is a great month to do it because I'm just going to tell y'all, I think I know why I'm so fired up today. Number one, this is going to be a great class. It's all about monk meals and how they help you understand what you're actually saying to yourself when you are eating. The reason why I want you to potentially listen to module one and two again is because my team has been consuming the brand new content that's coming out in April. We are doing a deep dive into urges and into the future you because NoBS modules 3 and 4 are re-releasing and it's all new content. And I'm just going to tell you, I have never in my life wrote content, number one, that I felt so on fire about and thought would be a game changer. And my team has never told me how good this content is. Like they have been blown away. The coaches in particular are just like, I'm going to use this lesson and this lesson and this lesson, and I'm going to tell them this and I'm going to do this. And like, they are on fire about it. I am just going to read to you, if I can find where all of our comments are, a few notes. Where did we, hang on. I got to, like, if you ever have used Slack, you know that we call it Slack hole for a reason because it acts like an asshole and hides all the good information that you ever need. Also, I get tagged in every fucking thing in the world. So I see all the things. All right. Just a few comments so that y'all can not only get your learn on early, but that you can also just look forward to. Let's see. Coach Betsy says, my favorite aha from module 3, wishing urges away really means that I want to get rid of any chance I have at understanding what I need to feel safe, happy, and relaxed in my life. We talk about in the new urges content about how so many of us, there's the discomfort of an urge where like, I just want to, eat this or I just need Oreos. I've had a bad day. There's like the desire part that's uncomfortable when you're going to say no, like, ugh, like I'm going to have to sit here and want this food. That in and of itself is hard, but it's not impossible if that's all that's happening. But when you are wanting food in the entire time, your relationship with urges, you have the undercurrent of, this sucks. I wish my urges would go away. Why is this happening to me? Woman forever. Like when your brain's doing all of that on top, you just took a shit sandwich and threw diarrhea on top of it as a condiment. We're not going to do that. So wishing urges away means that I want to get rid of any chance I have at understanding what I need to feel safe in this world, happy, or relaxed in my life. Urges always have a purpose every single time. They're trying to communicate something to you. They're not trying to communicate to you that you want Oreos, and they're not trying to tell you that you have no control around food. What they're really trying to tell you is there's something missing here. And because you won't fix it and you aren't trying to figure out what that is, I only know to send up a desire for food because I need you to feel safe. I need you to feel comforted. Like I want to give you what it is you really want. And your brain only right now has one way to help you, and that is with food. It's your job, your ownership, and your responsibility to figure out your truest needs. It's nobody else's. And when you figure those out, and then you start looking for ways to give yourself your truest needs, guess what happens to urges? Oh my God, I don't know what happened. I just don't want to eat as much at night. They just kind of start hoofing away. And then you only have to deal with run-of-the-mill urges of like, ooh, that looks good. I went out with my husband last night. We took someone out last night to help him. He's got a handyman business. We love this guy. He does handyman work for us, and he wants to grow his business. And we're like, meet us at our bar that we're buying, and we will help you. Like, we want to talk to you about it, like some strategy and stuff like that. And like the whole time, everybody around me is getting served burgers and tater tots, and there's booze everywhere. And I'm buying a fucking restaurant. So do not tell me that we, like, urges just don't go away. But the entire time I was sitting there, I'm thinking, ooh, that looks really good. I don't mind run-of-the-mill urges, but I would mind them if I'm sitting there like stressed out because I'm having urges or I'm not taking care of my daily needs, then urges would be terrible. So that's just one of many pearls that you're going to get from the things. Let me see if there's something else. Coach Julie. Let's see, what was it? She said, she appreciates the tone of no perfection is needed. And in the, like, throughout the theme of the urges module, I just talk about how normal everything is. Like, it's all normal. So what I want all of you to think about, especially those of you that keep avoiding going back to no BS, like you're going to hear something that's going to make you feel bad. Every module of no BS, I worked so hard at helping you dismantle shame and anxiety around your weight loss. If there's one theme around the entire thing, like the big meta theme of the No BS weight loss course is I want you to not go through it with your normal shame, hopelessness, fear that you can't do it, so that you can be open to actually listening to the content and seeing that there's a different path for you. Okay, not going to pimp modules 3 and 4 anymore this month. Please work on enough. That is what our major focus is this month. Let me give you the big exciting announcement. I am going to do a spontaneous idea on Monday. My team is working out the time and the details. It will be a Zoom call, and we are going to record a podcast live. And I am only inviting the members. So on last weekend, I had recorded 2 podcasts. One was on like urges, like I'm talking to the podcast listeners about urges. I kind of go through each module and like what we cover. I don't teach them how to solve it, but I do give them an idea of like, yo, these are the problems. So if you come inside the membership, you're going to get this content, the deep dive, which all of you are already going to get. The other thing I did was I recorded a podcast on weight loss drugs, like the semaglutide stuff. I guess that's how you say it. I'm calling it semaglutide. I am sure if I'm mispronouncing it or butchering it, someone will let me know. But we all know it's like, Ozempic. Like, I don't mind weight loss drugs, but I just want to go slap the jingle writer of that because I sing that fucking jingle every time I hear it. It's like a fucking earworm. I'm like, the last thing I want to do is run around singing the Ozempic jingle. So I need to re-record it. And at first I was kind of pissed. I was like, fuck me. Are you kidding? My mic blew out. So I had to like, you know, redo everything. And then yesterday I found out that Weight Watchers bought Sequence, which is a telehealth medical place, so that they can now start offering weight loss drugs as part of their like toolbox of like losing weight. Now, what I want to do is I want to do a podcast on this. I have some definite thoughts and opinions about it, but I think it's going to be shocking. I do want to tell all of you this. Please be mindful that the weight loss drugs, the semaglutide ones, and I just want to tell y'all this for now, and then we'll talk more about it on Monday when we get all the information out about the live podcast. Please be mindful that we have members that need those drugs and they're taking them. And because they were originally designed for diabetes and they are helpful. They were not designed to be weight loss drugs, even though they're getting marketed and used as weight loss drugs. But when you throw shade and like, oh my God, and like when you get all wrapped up in it, don't forget you have got a Nobia sister somewhere who needs that drug. And she's going to feel bad. And she's going to feel like everybody thinks I'm just trying to lose weight when indeed this is a private decision that she had with her doctor. And you never know why someone needs to take it. So just for y'all, and I will talk about this in the podcast too. I just want us to remember that we don't have to slam things in order to get our points across about stuff. Like, I don't agree. Like, it's not that I don't agree. I have definite thoughts about Weight Watchers offering this as part of their stuff, but I just want, just for us internally, just for the culture of our no BS women, like our whole community and stuff, is always remember there's two sides to every story. We don't always know what's happening. It's really easy to like, as in the office space, to get on the jump to conclusions mat and think that we know, and we don't know. I know that we have a lot of our members who are going to take these drugs and they need them. And I just want us to be, aware of that. So if you're going to have discussions about it in the Facebook group, even if somebody doesn't hear this message and maybe they say something in a like, oh my God, I just can't believe it, whatever. You be the one that doesn't like chastise or auto-correct them or be the one that's got to fix it. Just be the reminder that we don't always know why everyone's taking them. We do have women in the group who do take these drugs for diabetes, because I will tell you, the vast majority, like I've been doing a lot of research on it. There's so much about it I didn't know. I thought I knew. I didn't know. A lot of people don't even realize these weren't really intended to be weight loss drugs. And there's a big shortage of them right now because so many people are getting them for weight loss and they don't need them medically. But the people who actually need it medically can't even get their hands on it right now. So I just want us to just be mindful and be aware. And that's my PSA for the day. All right, let's get into what, like I said, for all of you who might want to attend that Facebook, I mean, it's not going to be a Facebook Live. It's going to be a Zoom call. We're going to record a podcast. I think we're doing it on Monday. That's when I've asked my team to try to make it happen. We will send an email out. We'll post it in the Facebook group. It will be in the morning. I am podcasting on other people's podcasts all day Monday. So I'm going to get y'all in first. we're going to do my podcast first. Then I'm going to be on, I think, 7 other podcasts on Monday. So we will get it taken care of. What I want from y'all is to come and listen to what I have to say. And then I want you to ask some questions only about this topic. And then I'm going to drop that recording straight into the podcast. So y'all are going to help me and I'm going to help you. Let's see. All right. Today we are talking about, as you know, the month we are talking all about how do you get consistent at stopping at enough. So we have a stopping at enough challenge this month. If you go to the website, log into your membership site, none of this is stored on Facebook. So don't be going to Facebook like, where's the challenge? Nothing is stored on Facebook. We store everything inside nobswomen.com. You can go over there and you can check out this month's challenge. And then every week we are giving you something to help you with stopping at enough. And this week we're going to talk about monk meals. Monk meals is something that a few years ago, I believe it was in 2020, it was right before COVID. I had a 6-day in-person training here in Nashville for 70 people. Can you imagine listening to me for 6 straight fucking days all day? Worksheeting, coaching, it was the shit. And I had to meet a monk meal twice because these were people who said, I need like a major reboot. Like, I want to come to Nashville. I want to like basically go through the gauntlet of all kinds of eating challenges. And then we coached all day, every day on it. And so twice I had them do a monk meal, which is where you are going to eat in silence, just like a monk would. And you're going to take notes on what you're hearing in your brain, what you're feeling emotionally, and what you're feeling physically throughout the entire meal. When anyone tells me, I don't know my signals, I don't know what I'm thinking, I don't know how I feel, I miss my hunger, I miss my enough, this is a surefire way to get it done. Okay, but it's hard. Let me tell you why it's hard. Because you are going to now hear everything. And what usually makes it hard is not the thoughts that you hear, but it's the judgment that you put on top of it. So if you're hearing things like, oh my God, you probably can't stop. This tastes so good. And you're over here, oh my God, you shouldn't think that. That's a terrible thought. Remember, Chris said, never should on yourself. When you do a monk meal, the one thing you want to make sure you do is make an agreement with yourself that you're not going to judge and you're not going to beat yourself up. You're literally going to listen. You're going to learn. And then you're going to make an agreement with yourself. I love you enough to try to figure this out. I would encourage all of you to tell yourself, there's nothing we're going to hear that is that bad, that's that deep, and that a no BS coach can't help me figure out. Like, this is the way I'm going to lose weight. This is why this program's different. This is why I'm here. I want to unlearn the judgment. I want to unlearn the crap. I want to like start getting to the part where I investigate and get curious and understand things. So before you do a monk meal, I just want you to like, Stacy says, monk meal scary. Stacy, do me a favor. Go to the Q&A. This is perfect. I really appreciate you saying that. I want you to go to the Q&A because I'll be able to see it. I want you to tell me 2 reasons why monk meals scare me. Just Stacy, not everybody. I just want Stacy since she was the brave soul to post it into the chat. All right. Now, I'm going to teach you a couple things here, but I want to do this in a way that applies to different stages of weight loss. There are 3 main stages of weight loss that we all go through when we're losing weight. Stage 1 is the beginning. I am new or I'm starting over. Like beginners are the people who are like, I'm hitting the reset button. I'm brand new, or I've been around a while, kind of gotten away from things. I'm ready to get back on track. I'm ready to like dive back in. That I call beginning. Now, if you're getting back on track or you're hitting a reset button or you're like, all right, it's just time. Like, I don't have to shame myself. That's the key. There's nothing wrong with approaching something with a beginner's mindset until you think there is. Until you start applying, I shouldn't have to start over. I shouldn't, blah, blah, blah. Until you're hard on yourself. A beginner's mindset is actually one of those things that successful people, we kill to have it over and over again. I'm the same way. Like coaching, like my skills as a coach, every quarter I go back through all of the materials that I was taught to become a coach, and I go back through them again. And I've been doing this since 2015, and I still go back through with a beginner's mindset and I re-listen, and I always get something out of it. To me, that's how I stay sharp. To me, that's how I learn. And I know I'm always evolving and changing. I am a different person every time I listen to it. So I want to listen with that person's mindset. So phase one, like the three main phases of weight loss is phase one is beginner or resetting. Okay. Phase two is our stall and plateau phases. So every person who's going to lose weight is going to have stalls and plateaus. It's natural. It's normal. They happen for a multitude of reasons. And stage three is your maintenance phase. This is, I've lost the weight, or I've reached a place where I want to maintain for a while and then decide, do I want to keep going? Because a lot of times when we start our weight loss journey, we think we want to weigh one number. We get, because, and let me just tell you why a goal weight often changes. Like, I used to want to be thinner than I am now. And then I had to do some, like, I carried around a lot of shame for not weighing below 150. Like, for a long time, I wanted to be in the 140s. I just thought the 140s were just going to be my happy place. And blah, blah, blah. I just had all this stuff around it. And I had to do a lot of work around it because I carried a lot of shame for, because I kept saying, I just won't lose those last 10 pounds. Like, you know, here I am, a weight loss guru, and I just can't lose my last 10 pounds. I did that for a long time. Then I started like questioning it. And what I really realized is I don't want to lose the last 10 pounds. It has nothing to do with I can't. It's literally just a choice. I started thinking about my life. I started thinking about what I can do. I started thinking about like all the different things. And what I realized is I was already happy. There was nothing that was going to happen between 140 and 150 that was different than what I was experiencing between 150 and 160. Other than like smaller clothes, I might see more muscle. Like there was some of that, but like when I really got to the root of why I wanted to be a little bit smaller, it was like, I already like my body. I already like the clothes that I wear. So all of that's already happening. And in order to do that, like, I like drinking wine twice a week now. I love that. I don't want to go back to once a week because I know for me, in order to lose 10 pounds, it's not that it's hard. It's not that I have to be deprived. It's nothing like that. It's like there are just changes to lifestyle that equate that 10 pound loss. I don't want those lifestyle changes as much as I want this. And when I let myself have that freedom, I was like, oh, no wonder people struggle so much. They don't even question what they want and what they're truly seeking anymore. So let's go back to these three phases because this is how it's going to apply to the monk meals. If you're in the beginning phase, a monk meal, the way it helps you is it alerts you to stuff you don't even know you need to know. So there is in the beginning phases or when you're resetting, when you've kind of gotten a little bit far away from like what you were doing and you need to do that, it's like you don't know what you don't know until you start listening. It's like, it's very common that if you've not been listening to your body cues for most of your life or a year or 6 months, to forget them or not be able to recognize them. It's just normal. If you have never been taught to listen to your thoughts or listen to why you're having urges and things like that, you don't know what's going on in your brain. That's just normal. So in the beginnings and the reset stages, we want to do monk meals because we actually have to get aware of what we don't know. Now, when you are on weight loss stalls and plateau phases, so as you lose weight, you'll hit, you know, like if you've got 100 pounds to lose, you're likely to hit at least 8 of them. Like, at least I did. I was like stalling out all the damn time. Like I would have, you know, either 2 weeks to 6 weeks of stalls and plateaus. When you're in the stall and plateau phase, the reason why you want to do monk meals is because something changes when you hit a stall or plateau. One, it could be that what you did to get to where you are really helped you lose weight, but now you are now eating in this maintenance level. And so you need to recalibrate your enough. It doesn't mean that every single time you have to recalibrate your enough, but sometimes what we do is we're so thrilled. We're so excited. We're like, oh my gosh, I'm getting to eat the food that I want. And, you know, like I don't have to starve like I used to and blah, 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 blah. And so we normalize through the amount we're eating. And so when we hit a stall or plateau, we don't realize it, but we're unconsciously just eating what we've taught ourselves to eat. We've formed the habit of this is enough. This is when I eat. This is when hunger hits. And we just kind of fall into it. And that's fine. That's normal. That's your brain making habits out of things. And that's what your brain's supposed to do. When it starts noticing a repeated pattern, it's like, oh, let's make that a habit. So you may have a habit of enough that doesn't like have you losing weight anymore. So when you do a monk meal on a stall or plateau, you're going to really recheck in and you might realize, oh, like I don't need as much food as I thought I was needing. It is just a little bit less. So monk meal can help you dial into that. Another thing that happens with stalls or plateaus that's really that a monk meal can really help you with is, so we're recalibrating enough, is your thoughts change and they change unconsciously. So in the beginning phase, like sometimes it, like somebody is their first, like I see this very often in that first 25 to 40 pounds when you have a lot of weight to lose. So it's really about the first 50%, let's say 40 to 50%, sometimes maybe 25 to 50% of your weight loss is gone. It's really common for people to hit a really big stall and it's because their thinking has changed from when they first started. So this is what it usually looks like. In the beginning, it's easy to get excited for some people. Like you're just like, woo, a planner, I love it. I've printed everything, Corinne. And you're listening to the content, you're like, wow, every time I listen, I hear something new. I've never heard this before. Everything is just like, woo. And so when you're consuming all that and you have these new things, it's real easy for your brain to think, this is great. Oh my gosh, this is going to be easy. So your brain is just like giving you automatically some pretty lush fucking thoughts. And this is the sweet spot because your brain is automatically doing it. Well, when the newness wears off and you're just doing it for a while, you go into hedonic conditioning, which is what the brain is supposed to do. It's not supposed to sit there and be excited about everything. It's not supposed to be like, every time you listen to something, like, wow, I've never heard it before. Look, I don't say that much new shit. After you listen to me for 25 to 50 pounds, I repeat a lot of shit. I may say it excitingly. I may cuss differently or wear a new outfit. But look, there's only so much lipstick we can put on this pig. Wait, shit is shit. So you're no longer like, never heard that before. You're like, oh yeah, she says that a lot. That must be important. Like your brain is not all worked up on cocaine like it was in the very beginning. But you don't notice that your mindset has shifted. You just think, nothing's working. I knew this time would come. I always fail. That's what we need to hear in the monk meals. You don't realize that that automatic lush thinking has now gone back to whatever automatic thinking you had before. And that's supposed to happen. It doesn't mean you're broken. It doesn't mean something's going wrong. It means you, my friend, have now hit the next phase of weight loss, which is, I actually got to do the thought work now. My brain is now telling me the stuff it's always believed, But when I was excited, I couldn't hear it. It was just turned down for a little while. And now it's here. And now it's ready for me to work on. So a lot of times when we hit that stall or plateau moment, we got to really listen to, how did our thinking change? Because if we were on a roll and now we're not losing, and we notice that we're not planning every day, and we're not always stopping at enough, and on some weekends we're eating more than we were, that means our thinking has changed because our patterns changed. And we want to listen for those. Now, for the maintenance people, the reason why I want you doing a monk meal is because when you go into maintenance, and if you take the maintenance course, you know you're going to have an identity shift. I think it's really key in maintenance for you, if you want to keep your weight off and you want to enjoy it, to do monk meals for a while so that you can make sure your brain isn't digging deep into old diet mentality, like, you better be really careful. You know, you've always regained weight. It's like, I'm not sure if you actually can eat this. I mean, you finally got here, but my God, you know, maintaining weight is really hard. Maybe you shouldn't have this. Maybe you should tighten up. Maybe you should exercise a little more today. You want to be listening for that stuff. Monk meals give us these gifts. So whether you are beginning or resetting, you are on a stall or plateau, or you are entering maintenance, or the last 10 pounds or the last 20, that last little bit, this is how I want you to apply it. All right. The first thing we're going to do is we're going to do a monk meal. Here's how you do one. You make a decision about where you're going to do it and when you want to do it. So we're going to decide, this is where and this is when. And you need to have a place that's quiet. There's no distractions. Thy phone is in another room. TV is off. You ain't got a book. If at best, turn on airplane mode for your if you are using an iPad to do your journaling, or you have your printed version of your planner or journal or however you want to do this, airplane mode, because you want zero distractions. And then you're going to set a timer for 20 minutes. Then you're going to eat your food. And you're going to eat slowly with the intention of, like, the goal is not to enjoy your food. Doesn't mean you can't enjoy it, but the goal is not to enjoy it. The goal is to figure out, how do I talk to myself right before I eat, while I'm eating, and right after I'm eating? And you want to catch as many sentences that go through your brain. I would just write them all down. Whether, like, it's even good to know if your brain goes to a to-do list in the middle of it. At least you know that when you're eating, your brain sometimes loses focus on the food and wants to think about maybe stressful things. That could be an indicator to you as to why you hurry up and eat, why you sometimes blow past enough, because, like, well, then I get to rushing if I'm thinking about my to-do list, because now my stress and anxiety goes up. Or it could be an indicator of, like, no wonder I blow past enough, because if I'm thinking about my to-do list and stuff while I eat, I'm not thinking about my body. It would be really hard to notice the signals. So write it all down. I also want you to pay attention to any kind of feelings that you have. Sometimes it's harder to hear the thoughts, but we're really good at identifying the feelings. Like, I just know I'm feeling anxious. Just write them down. And then afterwards, you can go back and be like, I wonder why I was anxious. If I had to guess, what could it be? And then the last thing I want you to do is notice any physical sensations that you're having. This is going to be how you dial in. Like, these are the reasons why I'm not stopping it enough. These are the reasons why, why it might be hard for me. And these are the exact things I can start working on so that I can stop it enough. And if you're ever, ever, ever confused, take anything you learn to ask coaches, and guess what they'll do? They will break thy brain wide open and they will help you get clear. Okay, so that is how you do it. So let me go over three common things that you need to know about the stopping at enough. Like, I want to give you the three most common bullshit things that we do tell ourselves, and I want to tell you why they're not true. So number one is my favorite food controls me. A lot of us have this thought. We say things like, well, I can't have chips because they control me, or I can't eat that because it controls me. So it is a bullshit thought, because I want you to think about this. We're just going to like examine this. If food really controlled you, you'd still be eating it right now. Food would be like, don't stop eating me. I'm in charge. You're going to eat me forever. So at some point, you stop eating. That means you always have control. It's just sometimes you don't want to stop eating. That is such a better way to say it. Because when you say, it's not that food controls me, there are just times that no matter how many good reasons I have, no matter what my whys are, I just choose not to stop. And if I'm choosing not to stop, the answer is not to blame food for my problems. When I take ownership and responsibility that I don't choose to stop, I then open myself up to, I wonder why. What is it doing for me? What is continuing to eat solving, helping me with, allowing me to avoid, distracting me from, whatever it is? When we drop the story of food controlling you, you actually can find the root cause problem. Because I'm going to tell you right now, I don't care what science says about sugar. Yeah, like sugar can give you lots of dopamine and make it sexy and attractive and all this other stuff. But at the end of the day, if I gave you, let's say you had a dozen donuts and you ate three and you think donuts control me. And after the third donut, you're going in full on binge mode and all you want to do is eat the rest of the donuts. So imagine that scenario. Now I want you to imagine someone walking in with your partner, mother, fur baby, somebody or something you love more than anything else in this world, and said, if you eat another donut, I'm going to drop them right here on their ass, dead. If their life depended on it, could you stop? Even if you had fuck tons of sugar running through your veins, if dopamine was going wild, or you'd be like, I'm sorry, mama, but sugar calls. I see you at the pearly gates. Said no one in this room. It's an extreme example, but what it shows you is that the food can't control you. What does control you is proper motivation. Interjection, stopping to think. Is it easy to do that when you got sugar running through your veins and problems up the wazoo and your logical brain offline, all that stuff? No, it's not easy, but it's I'd rather you tell yourself there are times it's not easy and I choose not to. Here are all the reasons why, than just keep telling you, it's like, well, I'm addicted. Like, food controls me. When we do that, we lose all of our autonomy. You lose every ounce of your agency. Now you need the food to somehow never get into your like vision. Okay, so let's go on to the second reason. The second reason, let me find, where did my worksheet go? There it is. I have all my notes. I'm like, you only saw the 4,000 things I like to keep open on my screen because, you know, I love being easily distracted. Whew. Eating is the only thing in my life that's exciting. It's the only thing I have that I can relax with. We tell ourselves this crap. This is why monk meal can help you. This is bullshit. A lot of times we're eating while doing the very thing, number one, that actually is going to make us relax. The reason why we tell ourselves that food is the only thing, it's like, how many of you are sitting around? Give me an emoji. How many people are sitting around eating in front of the TV at night? Like, you can't watch TV without a ding-dong sticking out your fucking mouth. You just want to watch TV. Probably to relax. But here's what I notice most people is that if they sit in front of the TV without the ding-dongs and the chips and the ice cream and stuff, then their brain goes hog wild on things like, you shouldn't be watching TV. Your mate doesn't love you. They don't even want to watch TV with you. You didn't spend enough time with your kids. You lazy fuck. Why are you watching TV? You should be sitting around wanting to spend time with your kids. And all you want to do is get away from their little asses. Of course you're eating because you're talking to yourself like an asshole. It isn't that the food's relaxing you. It's distracting you. And you know what it does? It makes you talk like an asshole to yourself about your weight and shit later. So you're not saving any asshole talk, number one. The answer is, why? But what is it going to take for me to realize that if I want to watch TV, this isn't a guilt-ridden moment? Like, where did I learn to feel guilty for taking a moment for me? Figure that out. Put that shit through the four ends. Normalize why you might feel that, but then question it. Is it a morality issue? Guilt is one of those feelings that means it's signaling you think you are morally wrong when you're doing something. It's fucking sad that so many of us are sitting around at night eating in front of the TV simply because if we don't, for some reason we think we're morally bad for resting, for not wanting to be with our kids every 5 minutes. I'm going to tell you, I love my son, but there's a lot of times I just don't want to be with him. I was actually telling somebody yesterday. I said, you know, it took me a long time. Logan loves to talk. And he wants to talk when he gets you like in his zone. And very often, one of the things he doesn't understand is how to, like, the moment when it should end. Like, he just keeps talking literally until you turn your back, walk out of the room. And so I kind of been working on it with him a little bit. And for a while, I will tell you, I felt so guilty because I wouldn't let him finish. And then I started like evaluating. I was like, I don't think he's ever going to finish. So if I'm going to set myself up to feel guilty because I don't want to let him finish, then I'm going to have to listen to him for the rest of my life at all times because I don't think he'll ever stop. So I had to really question my guilt. And then I just decided this is not a morally bad moment. If I don't want to talk or I don't like the topic or whatever it is, this is called a preference, not a morality issue. And I can just tell him kindly, baby, mama's done. I need to go do something else. Catch me later. Even if something else, like I tell him all the time, hey, like I really want to eat by myself. I haven't had any time to myself today. So I'm going to go to my room and I'm going to eat by myself. Sometimes I tell him like, hey, I've had a long day. Like, let's talk for 5 minutes and then I'm going to go and watch TV. I'm teaching him, and all of you can do this, I'm teaching him that it's okay to sell someone the truth and nobody dies over it. Sometimes I'm sure he wants me to stay. He may even have his feelings hurt every now and then, but I've never once seen it be a catastrophe moment. I've just been like, yeah, he sometimes doesn't like it, but he's also learning how to deal with some disappointment too in a very safe way. So make sure that when you're doing, when you're telling yourself, this is the only thing that's relaxing in my life, that you start digging deeper into it. Why are you, why are you needing to eat to excite you? Are there things that you're just afraid to do? Like most of the time, when I coach someone, what I find is that when they're eating for excitement, and I tell them, like, well, if we were going to take eating off, they're like, well, then I'd be bored. And I said, well, what else would you like to do with your life? And they tell me things, and they say, yeah, but I can't do that. So they stay eating instead of figuring out how they can do that, or how can they do something close to it, or can they do the first steps towards it? Most of us are just so afraid that we'll fail that we end up just staying on with eating as the exciting thing. And then with the relaxing, if the only way you know how to relax is with food, well, don't you think it's time for us to figure out new ways? What's causing all of the stress in your brain? Don't go looking outside of you. The moment you say, it's my job, it's my family, it's my situation, say, yeah, all that's happening, but why do I find it so stressful? What is it that I tell myself about it that creates so much stress for me? So that now when I need to relax, I'm going to relax by debunking all of that. That's how I'm going to end up relaxing. A lot of us find that the main reason why we can't relax at a night is simply just because we're hard on ourselves. We're just hard on ourselves. So don't eat over being hard on yourself. Learn how to have your own back. That's the answer. Then the last one is, I don't know any of my hunger cues and I can't figure them out. This is also one of those bullshit excuses that we use. It's really hard to hear your hunger cues when you're listening to that excuse. A better way to think about it is, right now I don't know my hunger cues, so I'm going to do monk meals and I'm going to do things until I find them. Really watch what you tell yourself. Because I promise that if I dropped your ass off on Survivor Island, like for all of you who are like, that's me, I don't know my hunger cues, let's all go to Malaysia, get dropped off in the jungle, and have to hunt for our own food. How many of you would then know your hunger cues? Raise that emoji hand. If you want to find out your hunger cues, it's real simple. You don't eat. And your body will eventually scream at you. That does not mean, this is what freaks y'all out though. When I say that, I'm like, can we just do one day where we wait? Y'all hear me say that and be like, I'm gonna have to starve every day. No, you ain't. Because if you want to lose weight, you go a couple days really waiting for true hunger, your ass gonna start paying attention because you're gonna want to eat. And the more you get good at finding the early signals, the closer you get to being able to lose weight with slight hunger. But if you're just going to say, oh, I just don't know them. I just don't know them. It's so hard. I can't figure them out. Yeah, you can. You're just going to have to do it a few days. That's it. Like, this is not that deep. It's not that serious. And if you don't know your hunger cues, please don't beat yourself up. And don't act like something's wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with any of us. Number one, we're taught most of our life to not pay attention to our hunger cues. How many of you have said to your kids or heard someone say to you, even as an adult, are you sure you're done? Or told a kid, you better eat more than that because we're not going to eat for a little while. Every time we've heard that over the course of our life, guess what it tells our brain? Hey, you're supposed to look outside of you to know how much is enough, not inside you. We've been conditioned to think that way. Now we just have to like flip the script. That's all that's got to happen on hunger. All right, let me go to a few questions because we got a lot of questions today. I'm so proud of y'all for asking questions. Shay says, can someone be in phase two without any actual weight loss before hitting phase two? Sure. Because if you're only like in phase one, if you like, for some people, they lose weight. For some people, they don't. Just keep plugging along. You never know when your weight loss is going to hit. And this is all about the phases of change. It's in module one. If anybody's like, what is the phases? Last lesson of module one of No BS is all about the phases of change and how in the very beginning, you just miss a lot of things. This is one of the reasons why we do the monk meals, so that you get more aware of the things not to miss. Monk meals scare me. Oh, this is Stacy. Thank you, Stacy. Monk meals scare me because first, to be alone with all my thoughts will bring up thoughts and feelings about what I'm eating and why, and that I try to push away. All right, so this is good, Stacy. You need to know this. If I do a monk meal, I'm going to see the things that keep me overeating. Say it one more time. Well, I don't want to do a monk meal because that's going to show me all the reasons why I keep overeating. I call that good news. You have a reason why that's bad. It will bring up the thoughts and feelings about what I'm eating. So if you want to hear those, because it's probably like, you're bad. You shouldn't have it. This is wrong. Blah, blah, blah. Whatever that is. You need to hear that. You're thinking that's a bad thing. Yeah, you're going to hear that stuff and you're probably going to feel bad. The worst that's going to happen is you're going to feel bad. But here's the thing. Right now, you're just scared. Right now, you already feel bad. I want all of you to think about this. It's like, I want to avoid the very thoughts that I need to work on so that I can quit feeling bad and start feeling good. I want to ignore the very thoughts that I'm scared of that I could solve so that I can feel confident. But instead, here's what I want to do. I want to live in anxiety and worry and doubt. I want to be confused all the time about if I can lose weight. I want to feel hopeless that nothing's working. You're trading one for the other. All of you, when you have an emotion go through your body, I ask, this is would be a great exercise for you to do, Stacy. I want you to get yourself worked up. Like, I want you to get scared as fuck about doing a monk meal. I want you to like sit there and know you're fixing to do it. And before you start, this would be a good exercise for everybody who's scared to do a monk meal. Before you do one, or you get your favorite food, anything that will bring up some anxiety or bring up something, you want to do it in a controlled way. You're going to sit there and then you're going to do a body scan. And you're going to say, this is anxiety. This is fear. And it feels like this. You start in your head. And you're like, okay, my head's pounding. I can hear my breath. My mouth's really watering. I feel like I have a vice in my neck. My heart is beating out of its chest. I'm a little jittery. I'm a little shaky. This is stress. This is fear. This is anxiety. And you just do that for a minute. And you try to identify every body cue. Then you take a couple of deep breaths to kind of like calm yourself down just a little. You have now experienced being scared. That's legit the worst thing that's going to happen. And then you do a monk meal. So many of you are spending your entire life denying yourself of your dreams and your goals, your successes, denying yourself the life you really want. Because you're going to feel like you have a rock on your chest, you sweat, and you shake. That is a feeling. Those of you who are afraid to cry, it's like, oh my God, you're going to have water come out of your eyeballs. They're going to come down your face. You'll get hot. You might not be able to breathe good. And then they'll stop. I've never seen a human who didn't ever stop crying. All of you are like, what if I start and I never stop? Show me the human that did that. There may be an outlier medical case somewhere, but I've absolutely never heard of it being a phenomenon that we all need to worry about. Like, you have to check your brain. Let's see what the other reason that she's scared to do a monk meal is all about. Because somebody else had one too. Monk, I'll realize how much I hate being in my own head. You already know. You just typed it. What the fuck are you talking about, Stacy? I'll realize this. If you just typed it, that means it's already there. Welcome. You don't have to be afraid of a monk meal anymore. You can just say like, oh, I noticed that I hate being inside my head. I wonder why. I want to hear the thoughts that make me hate being there, because those are the ones I need to unwind. That's what I should try to ask coaches, so I can figure out how to build up my self-worth, so I can learn how to talk better to myself. There we go. I don't like what's in my head. Okay. It's already there. So you not listening to it, it's one, it's not making it go away. It just pops up and you're like, oh, now I got to go get my iPad. Oh, now I need to go get a donut. Like, oh, now I need to go like do something. I don't like myself. I don't like myself. Oh, let me go do this. That's fucking exhausting. Y'all wonder why you have anxiety. You wonder why you can't get shit done. You wonder why you procrastinate, lose focus, feel overwhelmed. We got to stop it. It's just going to take time. I'm afraid I'll shut down my thoughts. Mary Ellen, let's just risk it. Do a monk meal. If you shut down, you're shutting your, if you're afraid you'll shut down your thoughts, I guarantee you, Mary Ellen, you're doing it now. If like, think about what you just said. If I do a monk meal and I hear stuff, I'm afraid I'll shut down my thoughts. So here's what I'll do. I won't do a monk meal so I can pre-shut down all of my thoughts. You're not doing yourselves any favors there, Mary Ellen. Let's see, what else? There was somebody else that said, I was called a crybaby and a ball baby from early childhood, even by teachers. I learned not to cry. Elena, do not do a sad face. I would turn that into a happy face. Here's why. I too was also called a crybaby. My mother told me thousands of times growing up, you're being a baby. You always exaggerate. Like, my mama told me all that stuff when I was growing up. Guess what I learned when I grew up? So for a while, I was ashamed of my emotions. Then I decided like, yeah, I'm a crier. I'm going to be a crier. I don't want to believe what I was told anymore. Just decide. I do not want to believe what I was told anymore. Like, that's just a decision. Just because people told you things when you were growing up, y'all, secret. Once you're over the age of 18, you have free will to decide whatever the fuck you want for yourself. Just decide. Like, I learned how not to cry, so I can learn how to cry now, and I'll cry every day and twice on Sunday if I want to. And most of you, you know what you tell me all the time? When I cry, you all respect the shit out of me. So why not just respect yourself? You don't need a crowd to support you on your crying. And no one ever even has to see it. I just happen to be the kind of person who will cry in front of millions. It's all right. Guess what? Still standing. And actually, most days I feel pretty fucking good. I think it's because of the days that I do cry. And I give myself that stuff. All right, everybody. This weekend, you are going to have Coach MJ, Bitch Got Goals, is going to be here for you on Sunday. Again, I just want to tell everyone, please pray for my mama. She's having shoulder replacement surgery on Thursday. Then she's going to be staying with me. And then I won't be here on Sunday, and Coach MJ will be here. I'm going to do the surprise podcast. We'll get all the information out to all of you on like before, like it'll be sometime Monday. We'll get it to you before Monday. Do not worry. We'll make sure that we email. So check your email. We'll post it in the Facebook too, just so everyone knows. It's going to be all about weight loss drugs, and it's going to be a live recording of the podcast. And then I'll see you next Wednesday also for Q&A. And then I just want to remind you, in April, we are doing the new release of No BS, modules 3 and 4. In May, we have an ultra special movement challenge coming. We don't talk a lot about movement, but we are in the works to convert some material that we have and stuff, so that in May, my goal is to try to see, one, I want to teach y'all how movement and weight loss do and do not work together. So it's going to be new content. And in May, we're going to give you a movement challenge, and it's going to be very digestible. My goal is not to turn you into like strong ass lifting women. My goal is to teach everyone that all movement counts, and we need it to have a strong and long life. All right. Y'all have a good one. Bye, y'all.